Today I read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Apostle Paul speaks here of rightly dividing the word of truth. And he tells the young minister Timothy that it's important for him to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A minister of the gospel is a workman. And if he doesn't know the word of God, if he hasn't studied it, it soon will become apparent and he will be ashamed. But if that man studies the word of God and rightly divides it, rightly applies it, correctly understands it, and explains it, then that man is approved. And here the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, rightly dividing the word of truth. In order for God's people to understand his word, they must rightly divide it. The Bible makes a clear distinction or division of the word of God into three basic categories. First, the living word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, where that John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Clearly, John is speaking here of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second category that the Bible speaks of is the written Word, or the Bible itself. As in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, when the Apostle says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Peter teaches us here that the word of prophecy is the Scripture, the word of God, which we know to be the Bible. And he says it is a sure word of prophecy. We do well if we take heed to it. It's like a light that shineth in a dark place. Like David of old, who said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. These are not the words of men, the ideas of men. They cannot be discarded and disbelieved or not believed because human beings wrote them, because they are, in fact, words that were written by men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, so that when we read the Scripture, we are reading the words of God himself. Whether we're reading the words of Jesus, or whether we're reading the words of Paul, or whether we're reading the words of Isaiah, these are all the words of God. So therefore, the Apostle Paul would tell the young minister Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is a perfect, thorough furnisher unto all good works. Everything the man of God needs is in the Word of God. The Bible is written not for a person who is not a child of God. It is written for the man of God. And it is written for the man of God that he might have everything he needs to become perfect in his walk before God, to become complete in his service to the Lord, which is what the word perfect means. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is breathed, inspired by God. This is God's written word. And then the third category that the Bible speaks of the word of God is the preached word, which we know to be the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the apostle says to the young minister Timothy in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The apostle says to Timothy, preach the word. And that is exactly what the gospel minister should do, preach the word of God. So you see, there are three basic categories that the Bible gives us of the word of God: the living word, the written word, and the preached word. If we fail to distinguish between these three, it will lead to a great doctrinal error. that is, giving credit to the written or preached word, the Bible and the gospel, which belongs exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we read, "Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." In this portion of Scripture, we read that we are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God. If we make the mistake of thinking that's the preach word, the gospel, then we're going to give credit to the gospel that belongs exclusively to the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is that when the apostle says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, he says this word of God liveth and abideth forever. This then is the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is the written word, the preached word, can be corrupted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says in verse 17, "We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God speak we in Christ." Now notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, this word of God is incorruptible. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. This incorruptible word of God cannot be the written word, because the apostle speaks here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, as being many that corrupt the word of God. He says, "We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity." And you know that to be true. There are many men that have corrupted the word, the written word of God. Jesus Christ, the living word, is incorruptible, but the Bible has been corrupted in many ways. You only have to go to a bookstore and look on the shelf to see many corruptions of the Word of God. Since the day when men presume to be able to criticize the Word of God and look into it to try to find error which can never and has never been found, first to undermine the authority of the authorized version in the minds of God's people, and then to produce other versions which are corruptions produced from corrupted text and corrupted manuscripts. And so we have today many corruptions of the written word of God. But no matter how much men may corrupt the written word under the banner of higher criticism, the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is incorruptible. We are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And of course, we all know that the preaching of the gospel can be corrupted. There are many perversions of the gospel in the world today. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Galatia, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some which would pervert the gospel of Christ." He says, "Though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed." Paul said there are those that would pervert the gospel. There were those that would corrupt it. Again, we're born again not of a corruptible or a pervertible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which is Christ. Christ is the living word, and he cannot be corrupted. He is the one that gives us eternal life, not the Bible, not the gospel, but the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in our text, as the Apostle Paul tells the young minister Timothy of the importance of studying to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, he goes on to say, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Hymenaeus and Philetus had corrupted the word of God, had perverted the preaching of the gospel, and had denied the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and by doing so had overthrown the faith of some of God's people. Now the apostle goes on to say, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Even though our faith may be overthrown, the knowledge of God cannot be overthrown. Jesus Christ is incorruptible. The preaching of the gospel may be corrupted by men like Hymenaeus and Philetus, the word of God may be corrupted by, like men who corrupted under the banner of higher criticism, but the fact is the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be corrupted. He is perfect, holy, harmless, undefiled, and therefore he knoweth them that are his. Though men may have their faith overthrown by men that would pervert the gospel, though men may, as the apostle would warn in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, handle the word of God deceitfully, yet the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be deceived. He is the living word who gives us eternal life. Therefore, when Peter says being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, it is clear that word that we are born again by is the living word. Let us notice the three categories in which the word of God is distinguished. First, as we said, the living word is presented to us in the scriptures. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is found in the text where the apostle Peter says, being born again by the word of God. That's the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said, that truth is taught in many places, beginning, first of all, in the book of John, chapter 1. Listen closely to the language. Here, John is talking about the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here, John is telling us that the Word and God are the same. In verse 2, he says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. This word is a person, a male person. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Here the Apostle John makes it clear that this word is God. This is the eternal Logos. This is the eternal Word of God, who is revealed to us in the 14th verse as the Son of God himself. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is that Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the one that created the heavens and the earth. Remember what John says in verse 2? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Creator. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the Creator God. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the apostle tells us that we believe this truth by faith. We understand this truth, that Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, is also the Creator. He says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Obviously, the apostle is not talking about the gospel. He's not saying that the worlds were framed by the gospel. Obviously, the apostle's not talking about the Bible. He's not saying the worlds were framed by the Bible. No, the scripture is telling you that Jesus Christ, the living Word, framed the worlds. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Again, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, which, by the way, is a verse of scripture that is most often abused in the modern perversions of the Word of God, but is faithfully preserved in the King James translation, we read, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. In the epistle of 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, John is saying the same thing that he said in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, verse 1. That is, that the Word is the second person of the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. In Revelation chapter 19, we read where that Jesus Christ, when he returns, is known, has a name, and that name is the Word of God. In verse 11 we read of chapter 19, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Notice that it is him that sits upon this white horse. It is him that is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire. His head has many crowns upon it. He has a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. This then is the living Word by which we are born again of the Spirit, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. What is important is for us to understand the distinction between the living Word and the preached Word. The preached Word is extremely important. As we preach the written Word of God, we free the Lord's people from the bondage of false teaching and false doctrine. They come to the knowledge of the truth, and by it are set free from the shackles of false religion. But we should never, as we said, give credit to the preaching of the Word of God that belongs exclusively to the living Word of God. Only Jesus Christ can give eternal life. And he does that by speaking directly to the person that is dead in trespasses and in sin. Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." God's people in this world, some may hear the voice of the preacher, and some will not hear the voice of the preacher. But whether a man ever hears the voice of a preacher or no, every single one of God's elect people will hear the voice of the Son of God. Whether they are in the womb of their mother, like John the Baptist, or whether they live in some foreign region that we have never reached or have never spoken to, God has a people in every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So that the Spirit of God, like the sovereign wind, goes where it desires. "The wind bloweth where it listeth," said Jesus, "and thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." God speaks to the hearts of his people no matter what their circumstances are, no matter what their geographical location is, no matter what their circumstance in life may be. If they belong to him by election, he will speak to their heart and give them eternal life by immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. The preaching of the gospel is powerfully important. It is not instrumental in the regeneration of God's elect, but it is very important to the setting free of God's people from the shackles of false religion and false teaching, and bringing them to the knowledge of the truth, that they may worship God in spirit and in truth. In Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ said that the Pharisees had rejected the commandment of God to keep their tradition, had taught traditional things rather than his word, and by doing so had made the word of God of non-effect through their tradition, which they had delivered, and many such like things they did. Child of God, Jesus Christ is never been ineffective. He is effective every time that he speaks to the heart of a dead sinner. But the Bible can be rendered of non-effect if men pervert the Word of God and teach tradition rather than God's Word. Aren't you thankful then that you're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever? You're born again of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The preached Word may be perverted by men, as Paul said to the church at Galatia. The written Word may be corrupted by men, as the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth. But Jesus Christ is the incorruptible living Word, and by him we are born again of his Holy Spirit. We preach the word to declare the great truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and every one of his people will hear his voice and be born of the Spirit of God before they leave this world without the loss of a single one. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ receives all the praise and all the glory. We love the Bible. We dedicate our lives to preaching the gospel, but we never give credit to the preaching of the gospel that is exclusively the right of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ.